great plays, the playboy of the Western world. A drama guide giving important factual and background material relating to each of the 28 great plays on this series is available as a listener's aid at the cost price of 25 cents. Coin or money order to be sent in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. The National Broadcasting Company invites you to attend a performance of The Playboy of the Western World, an Irish folk comedy by John Millington Synge, adapted for radio by James Church. The Playboy was first produced at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin on the evening of January 26, 1907. The Playboy of the Western World is perhaps Synge's best-known work. It is a folk comedy in the strict sense of the word. Its people are simple, and its comedy is simple and close to the earth. At first contact, the language and situation of the play seem beyond the bounds of recognized reality. Concerning this, Mr. Synge says in his preface to the play, "Anyone who has lived in real intimacy with the Irish peasantry will know that the wildest sayings and ideas in this play are tame indeed, compared with the fancies one may hear in any hillside cabin in Gisala or Carraroe or Dingle Bay. All art is a collaboration, and there is little doubt that in the happy ages of literature, striking and beautiful phrases were as ready to the storytellers with the playwright's hand as the rich cloaks and dresses of his time. In listening to the Playboy this afternoon, we are sure that you will find, as we have found, a direct and delicate beauty as timeless as the earth itself. And it is our hope, as interpreters, that your pleasure in listening will equal ours in its performance. Featured in today's performance are Mary Michael as Piggeen Mike, Walter Kinsella as Christy Mahan, and Whitford Kane as Old Mahan. The scene is the interior of a country public house near a village on a wild coast of Mayo. It is an evening in autumn, and Margaret Flaherty, known to the countryside as Peggeen Mike, daughter to Michael James Flaherty, owner of the house, sits reading over a letter she has just written. She's a wild-looking but fine girl of about 20, and the labor of composition has been somewhat difficult for her.
6 yards of stuff for to make a yellow gown. A pair of lace boots with lengthy heels on them and brassy eyes. A hat is suited for a wedding day. A fine-tooth comb to be sent with 3 barrels of porter in Jimmy Farrell's creel cart on the evening of the coming fair to Mr. Michael James Flaherty. With the best compliments of this season, Margaret Flaherty. There now.
Where's himself?
He's coming.
I didn't see him on the road.
How would you see him in a dark night this half hour gone by? It's above at the crossroads he is, meeting Philly Cullen. And a couple more are going along with him to Kate Cassidy's wake.
And he's gone that length in the dark night?
He is, surely. And leaving me lonesome on the scruff of the hill.
Ah, well, when we're wedded in a short while, you'll have no call to complain. For I've little will to be walking off to wakes and weddings in the darkness of the night.
You're making mighty certain, Shawneen, that I'll wed you now.
Aren't we after making a good bargain? The way we're only waiting these days on Father Riley's dispensation from the bishop or the carts of Rome.
It's a wonder, Shawneen, the Holy Father would be taking notice of the likes of you and stop tormenting me with Father Riley. When I'm asking only what way I'll pass these 12 hours of dark and not take my death with a fear.
Would I fetch you the Widow Quinn, maybe?
Is it the life of that murderer? You'll not, surely.
And I'm thinking himself will stop along with you when he sees you taken on. For it'll be a long night time with grey darkness. And I'm after feeling a kind of fella above in the furzy ditch, groaning wicked like a maddened dog. The way it's good cause you have, maybe, to be fearing now.
What's that? Is it a man you see?
I couldn't see him at all, but I heard him groaning out and breaking his heart. It should have been a young man from his words speaking.
And you never went near to see was he hurted or what ailed him at all?
Oh, I did not, Peggy, Mike. It was a dark, lonesome place to be hearing the likes of him.
Well, you're a daring fella. And if they find his corpse stretched above in the dews of dawn, what will you say then to the peelers or to the justice of the peace?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of that. For the love of God, Peggy, Mike, don't let on I was speaking of him. Don't tell your father and the men is coming above. For if they heard that story, they'd have great blabbing this night at the wake.
I'll maybe tell them, and I'll maybe not.
They are coming at the door. Will you wish, I'm saying?
Wish yourself.
Michael James, fat, jovial publican,
comes in followed by Philly Cullen, who's thin and mistrusting, and Jimmy Farrell, who's fat and amorous, about 45.
God bless you kindly.
Sit down now and take your rest. And how is it you are, Sean Keogh? Are you coming over the sinus to Kate Cassidy's week?
I am not, Michael James. I'm going home the shortcut to me bed.
He's right, too. And have you no shame, Michael James, to be quitting off for the whole night and leaving myself lonesome in the shop?
Isn't it the same whether I go for the whole night or a part only? And I'm thinking it's a queer daughter you are. You'd have me crossing backwards through the stooks of the dead women with a drop taken.
If I'm a queer daughter, it's a queer father to be leaving me lonesome these 12 hours of dark.
What is there to hurt you? And you, a fine, hardy girl, would knock the head of any 2 men in the place.
Isn't there the harvest boys with their tongues red for drink? And the 10 tinkers is camped in the East Glen? And the 1,000 militia, bad cess to them? There's lots surely to hurt me.
Well, if you're that afeard, let Sean Keogh stop along with you.
Oh, I would and welcome, Michael James, but I'm afeard of Father Riley. And what at all would the Holy Father and the Cardinals of Rome be saying if they heard I did the like of that?
God help you. Can't you sit in by the hearth with a light lit and herself beyond in the room? You'll do that, surely. I've heard tell there's a queer fellow above, going mad, or getting his death maybe in the gripe of the ditch. So she'd be safer this night with a person here.
I'm afeard of Father Riley, I'm saying. Ah, let you not be tempting me, and we near married itself.
And lock him in the west room. He's dead in and of no sin to be telling to the priest.
Go up now.
Don't stop me, Michael James. Let me out of the door, I'm saying, for the love of Almighty God, let me out. Ah, let me out of it, and may God grant you his indulgence in the hour of need.
Stop your noising and sit down by the hearth.
Oh, Father Riley and the saints of God, where will I hide myself today? Oh, St. Joseph and St. Patrick and St. Bridget and St. James, have mercy on me now.
You be going, is it?
Leave me go, Michael James. Leave me go, you old okay? Leave me go, or I'll get the curse of the priests on you and of the scarlet coated bishops of the court.
Well, there's the coat of a Christian man. Oh, there's sainted glory this day in the lonesome West.
Now, what's right of you to be making game of a poor fella for minding the priest? When it's your own the fault is, not paying a penny potboy to stand along with me and give me courage in the doing of my work.
Where would I get a potboy? Would you have me send a bellman screaming in the streets of Castle Bar?
Michael James.
What ails you?
The queer dying fella's beyond looking over the ditch. He's come up, I'm thinking, stealing your hens. Oh, God help me, he's following me now. And if he's heard what I said, he'd be having me life. And I going home lonesome in the darkness of the night.
For a perceptible moment, they watch the door with curiosity. Someone coughs outside. Then Christy Mahon, a slight young man, comes in, very tired and frightened and dirty.
God save all heal.
God save you.
I trouble you for a glass of port, a woman of the house.
You're one of the tinkers, young fella. Is beyond, camped in the glen.
I am not, but I'm destroyed walking.
They let you come up into the fire. You're looking famished with the cold.
Oh, God reward you. Is it often the police do be coming into this place, master of the house?
If you'd come in better hours, you'd have seen license for the sale of beer and spirits to be consumed on the premises, written in white letters above the door. And what would the police want spying on me?
'Tis a safe house, so...
Is it yourself is filling the police? You're wanting, maybe.
There's many wanting.
Many, surely. The broken harvest and the ended wars. It should be larceny, I'm thinking.
I had it in my mind. It was a different word and a bigger.
Here's a queer lad. Well, you never slapped in school, young fella, that you don't know the name of your deed.
I'm slow at learning. A middling scholar only.
If you're a dunce itself, you'd have a right to know that larceny's robbing and stealing. Is it for the like of that you're wanting?
And I, the son of a strong farmer, God rest his soul, could have bought up the whole of your old house a while since from the butt of his tail pocket, and not have missed the weight of it gone.
If it's not stealing, it's maybe something big.
Aye, it's maybe something big.
He's a wicked-looking young fella. Maybe he followed after a young woman on a lonesome night.
Oh, the saints forbid, mister, I was all times a decent lad.
You're a silly man, Jimmy Farrell. He said his father was a farmer a while since, and there's himself now in a poor state. Maybe the land was grabbed from him, and he did what any decent man would do.
Was it bailiffs?
The devil a one.
Agents?
The devil a one.
Oh, landlord?
Oh, not at all, I'm saying. It's either like of them stories on any little paper from amongst the town, but I'm not calling to mind any person, gentle, simple judge or jury did the like of me.
Well, that lad's a puzzle of the world.
He beat Dan Davies' circus, all the holy missioners, making sermons on the villainy of man. Try him again, Philly.
Did you strike golden guineas out of saw the young fella? Or shilling coins itself?
I did not, mister. No sixpence of a farthing coin.
Did you marry three wives, maybe? I'm told there's a sprinkling have done that among the holy Luthers of the preaching north.
I never married with one, let alone with a couple or three.
Maybe he went fighting for the Boers like the man beyond was judged to be hanged, drawn, and quartered.
I never left my own parish till Tuesday was a week.
He's done nothing so. If you didn't commit murder or robbery, there isn't anything should be worth your trouble for to run from now. You did nothing at all.
That's an unkindly thing to be saying to a poor orphan traveller. There's a prison behind him and hanging before, and hell's gap gaping below.
You're only saying it. You did nothing at all. A soft lad like you wouldn't slip the windpipe of a screeching sow.
You're not speaking the truth.
Not speaking the truth, is it? Would you have me knock the head of you with the butt of the broom?
Don't strike me. I killed my poor father Tuesday was a week for doing the like of that.
Is it? Killed your father?
With the help of God, I did surely.
That was a hanging crime, Mr. Honey. You should have had good reason for doing the like of that.
He was a dirty man, God forgive him. He getting old and crusty the way I couldn't put up with him at all.
And you shot him dead?
I never use weapons. I've no license. And I'm a law-fearing man.
It was with a hilted knife, maybe. I'm told in the big world it's bloody knives they use.
Did you take me for a slaughter, boy?
You never hanged him.
I did not then. I just rizzed the lie and let fall the edge of it on the ridge of his skull. And he went down at my feet like an empty sack and never let a grunt or groan from him at all.
In what way weren't you hanged, mister? Did you bury him then?
Aye. I buried them then. Wasn't I digging spuds in the field?
And the peelers never followed after you the 11 days that you're out?
Never one of them. When I walking forward facing hog, dog, or devil on the highway of the road.
It's only with the common weekday kind of a murderer them lads will be thrusting their carcass. And that man should be a great terror when his temper's roused.
He should then. And where was it, Mr. Honey, that you did the deed?
Oh, a distant place, master of the house. A windy corner of high, distant hills.
He's a close man, and he's right, surely.
That'd be a lad with a sense of Solomon to have for a pot boy, Michael James, if it's the truth you're seeking at all.
The Peelers is fearing him.
Bravery's a treasure in a lonesome place. And a lad would kill his father, I'm thinking, would face a foxy devil with a pitch pipe on the flags of hell.
It's the truth they're saying. And if I had that lad in the house, I wouldn't be fearing the loose khaki cutthroats or the walking dead.
Well, glory be to God.
Would you think well to stop here and be potboy, Mr. Honey? If we gave you good wages and didn't destroy you with the way to work.
That'd be a queer kind to bring into a decent, quiet household with the like of Peggy and Mike.
The worst! Who's speaking to you?
A bloody-handed murder, the like of...
The worst, I'm saying. We'll take no fooling from your like at all. And you, young fella. Ah, you'd have a right to stop, I'm thinking. For we do our all and utmost to content your needs.
And I'd be safe in this place from the searching law?
You would, surely.
Let you stop a short while, anyway. Aren't you destroyed, walking with your feet in bleeding blisters?
Well, it's a nice room, and if it's not humbugging me you are, I'm thinking that I'll surely stay.
Now, by the grace of God, ourself will be safe this night. But a man killed his father, holding dangers from the door. I'll let you come on, Michael James, or they'll have the best stuff drunk at the wake.
And begging your pardon, mister... What name will we call you? For we'd like to know.
Christopher Mahan.
Well, God bless you, Christy, and a good rest till we meet again, when the sun will be rising to the noon of day.
God bless you all.
God
bless you.
Peggy, are you wanting me to stop along with you and keep you from harm?
Didn't you say you were fearing Father Riley?
Oh, well, there'd be no harm staying now, I'm thinking, and himself in it, too.
You wouldn't stay when there was need for you, and let you step off nimble now this time, when there's none.
Oh, didn't I say it was Father Riley?
Well, go on then to Father Riley, and let him put you in the holy brotherhoods, and leave that lad to me.
If I meet the Widow Quinn...
Go on, I'm saying, and don't be waking this place with your noise. Oh, that lad'd wear the spirits from the saints of peace. Get you stretch out now by the fire, young fella. You should be destroyed traveling.
I'm tired, surely. Walking wild 11 days and waking fearful in the night.
You should have had great people in your family, I'm thinking. With the little small feet you have. And you with a kind of a quality name. The like of what you'd find in the great powers and potentates of France and Spain.
Oh, we were great, surely, with wide and windy acres of rich Munster land.
Wasn't I telling you? And you, a fine, handsome young fellow with a noble brow.
Is it me?
Aye. Did you never hear that from the young girls where you come from, in the west or south?
I did not then. Oh, they're bloody liars in the naked parish where I grew a man.
If they are itself, you've heard it these days, I'm thinking. And you walk in the world, telling out your story to young girls or all.
I've told my story no place till this night, Peggy and Mike. And it's foolish I was here, maybe, to be talking free. But you're decent people, I'm thinking. And yourself a kindly woman, the way I wasn't fearing you at all. I've seen none the like of you the 11 long days of walking the world.
If you weren't destroyed traveling, you'd have as much talk, I'm thinking, as Owen Roe O'Sullivan or the poets of the Dingle Bay.
You've a power of rings, God bless you. It wouldn't be any offense if I was asking. Are you single now?
And what would I want, wedding so young?
Where alike. So, up to the day I killed my father, there wasn't a person in Ireland knew the kind I was. And I there, drinking, waking, eating and sleeping, a quiet, simple, poor fellow with no man giving me heed.
It was the girls were giving you heed, maybe. And I'm thinking it's most conceit you'd have to be gaming with their like.
Not the girls itself, and I won't tell you a lie. There wasn't anyone heeding me in that place, saving only the dumb beasts of the field.
And I thinking you should have been living the like of a king of Norway or the Eastern world.
Oh, the like of a king, is it? And I have to toil and moil and dig and dodging from dawn till dusk, with never a sight of joy or sport, saving only when I'd be abroad in the dark night poaching rabbits on hills, or for I was a devil to poach.
And is that you'd call sport, is it? To be abroad in the darkness, with yourself alone?
I did, God help me. And there I'd be as happy as the sunshine of St. Martin's Day, watching the light passing the north of the patches of fog, till I'd hear a rabbit starting to screech, and I'd go running in the furs. Then when I'd be full shared, I'd come walking down, and I'd hear himself snoring out a loud, lonesome snore I'd be making all times the while he was sleeping.
Providence and mercy, Spirisol.
That you'd say surely if you had seen him. He after drinking for weeks.
I'd be well nigh feared of that lad myself, I'm thinking. And was there no one in it? But the two of you alone?
The devil a one. Though his sons and daughters walk in all great states and territories of the world, and not a one of them, to this day, but would say there's seven curses on him. And they rousing up to let a cough or sneeze, maybe, in the deadness of the night.
Well, you should have been a queer lot. I never cursed my father the like of that, though I'm 20 and more years of age.
Then you'd have cursed mine, I'm telling you. And he, a man, never gave peace to any, saving when he'd get 2 months or three, or be locked in the asylum for battering peelers or assaulting men. Well, it was a bitter life he led me till I did up a Tuesday and have his skull.
Well, you'll have peace in this place, Christy Mahon, and none to trouble you. And it's near time a fine lad like yourself should have your good share of the earth.
It's time, surely, and I a seemingly fellow with great strength in me and bravery. Oh, glory, it's late for knocking, and this last while I'm in terror of the peelers and the walking dead.
Who's there?
Me.
Who's me?
The Widow Quinn.
Christy. Go on with your supper and let on to be sleepy. For if she found you were such a warrant to talk, she'd be string and gabble till the dawn of day.
What ails you? Or what is it you're wanting at this hour of the night?
I'm after meeting Sean Keogh and Father Riley below, who told me your curiosity, man. And they feeling by this time he was maybe roaring, romping in your hands with drink.
Look now, is he roaring? And he's stretched away drowsy with his supper in his mug of milk. Ah, walk down and tell that to Father Riley and to Shanin Kyo.
I'll not see them again. For I have their word to lead the lad forward for the lodge with me.
This night, is it?
This night. It isn't fitting, says the priestine, to have his likeness lodging with an orphan girl. God save you, mister.
God save you kindly.
Well, no. Aren't you a little smiling fellow? My. It should have been great and bitter torment to rouse your spirits to a deed of blood.
It should, maybe.
That's more than maybe, I'm saying. And it has softened me heart to see you sitting so simple with your cup and cake. And you fitter to be saying your catechism than slaying your dad.
There's talking, when any'd see he's fit to be holding his head high with the wonders of the world. Look on from this. I'll not have him tormented. And he destroyed traveling since Tuesday was a week.
Oh, we'll be walking shortly when his supper's done. And you'll find we're great company, you and I, young fellow.
Did you kill your father?
She did not. She hit himself with a worn pick, and the rusted poison did corrode his blood, the way he never overed it and died after.
Ah, that was a sneaky kind of murder. It win small glory with her boys itself.
If it didn't, maybe all knows. A widow woman has buried her children and destroyed her man. Is a wiser comrade for a young lad than a girl the likes of you.
And you said that, Widow Quinn. And you, gasping with a rage ahead, racing the hill beyond to look in his face.
Me, is it? Huh? Well, Father Riley has cuteness to divide the two of you. We'd best be going, young fellow, so rise up and come along with me.
You lobster! He's potboy in this place, and I'll not have him stolen off and kidnapped while himself's abroad.
It'd be a crazy potboy who'd lodge him in the shebeen where he works all day. So you'd have a right to come on, young fellow. Till you see my little Hossein, a perch off on the rising hill.
Wait till morning, Christy Mahon. Wait till you lay eyes on her leaky thatch. It's growing more pasture for her buckoat than her square of fields, and she without a tramp itself to keep in order her place at all.
When you see me contriving in me little garden, Christy Mahon, you'll swear the Lord formed me to be living alone, and that there isn't me match in Mayo for thatching or mowing or shearing a sheep.
It's true the Lord God formed you to contrive, indeed.
Do you hear her now, young fella? Do you hear the way she'll be writing at your own self when the week is by?
Don't heed her. Let her to go on to her pigsty and not plague us here.
I'm going, but he'll come with me.
But I'm potboy in this place, and it's here I'd leave a stay.
Now, you've heard him, and go on from this.
Ah, but it's lonesome this hour crossing the hill. And if he won't come along with me, I'd have a right maybe to stop this night with yourself. Let me stretch out on the settle, Peggy, Mike. And himself can lie by the house.
Faith, I won't. Quit off or I'll send you now.
Ah, well, it's a terror to be aged to scorn. Bless you now, young fellow. But let you be wary. Or there's right torment will await you here if you go romancing with her like. And she waiting only on a sheepskin parchment to be wed with Shanty or Philippine.
Oh.
What's that she's after saying?
Lies and blather. You've no call to mind. Hey, isn't Shanty an impudent fellow to send up spying on me? Wait till I lay my hands on him. Let him wait, I'm saying.
And you're not wedding him at all?
I wouldn't wed him if a bishop came walking for to join us here. There's your bed now. I put a quilt on you. I'm after a quilt in a while since with my own two hands. And you'd best stretch out now for your sleep. And may God give you a good rest till I call you in the morning when the cocks will crow.
May Mary and St. Patrick bless you and reward you for your kindly talk.
Well,
it's a clean bed, soft with it. And it's great luck and company I've won me in the end of time. Two fine women fighting for the likes of me. Still, I'm thinking this night, wasn't I a foolish fella not to kill me father in the years gone by?
Act two of The Playboy of the Western World opens on the following morning. Christy sits in the brilliant sunlight, cleaning Peggy's boots and taking stock of the furnishings in the bar.
Well, half a hundred beyond, 10 there, a score that's above, 80 jugs, 6 cups and a broken one, 2 plates, a power of glasses, bottles of schoolmaster'd be hard set to count. And enough in them, I'm thinking, to drunken all the wealth and wisdom of the County Clare. Ah, there's her boots now, nice and decent for her evening use. Ah, and isn't it grand brushes she has? Well, this'd be a fine place to be me whole life, talking out with swearing Christians in place of me old dogs and cats. Nice stalking around, smoking my pipe and drinking my fill. And never a day's work but drawing a cork at odd time, or wiping a glass or rinsing out a shiny tumbler for a decent man. Oh, is she coming again? Oh, stranger girl. Oh, God help me, while I hide myself away and my long neck make it to the world. I'd best go to the room, maybe, till I'm dressed again.
There's nobody in it. Oh, it'd be early for them both to be out walking the hill, Susan.
I'm thinking Sean Keogh was making game of us, and there's no such man in it at all.
Look at that. He's been sleeping there in the night. It'll be a hard chase if he's gone off now. The way we'll never set our eyes on a man killed his father. And we are to rise in early and destroying ourselves running fast on the hill.
Are you thinking them's his boots?
If they are, Lily, there should be his father's track on them.
Is that blood there, Sarah Candy?
Ah, that's bog water, I'm thinking. But it's his own they are, surely. For I never seen the like of them for whitey mud and red mud and turf on them and the fine sands of the sea. Ah, that man's been walking, I'm telling you.
Maybe he's stolen off to Belmullet with the boots of Michael James. And you'd have a right sort of follow after him, Sarah Tansy. And you, the one yoked the ass cart and drove 10 miles to set your eyes on the man bit the yellow lady's nostril on another shore.
Whisht! There's someone inside the room. It's a man.
I'll call him. Mister. Mister. Is Peggy in within?
She's above in the nook in, seeking the nanny goats the way she'd have a sup of goat's milk for to call me tea.
And asking your pardon, is it you the man killed his father?
I am, God help me.
Then may thousand welcomes to you. And I've run out with a brace of duck eggs for your food today. Peggy's ducks is no use, but these are the real rich sort. Hold out your hand and you'll see it's no lie, I'm telling you.
Oh, they're a great and weighty size.
And I run up with a pat of butter.
Thank you kindly.
And I brought you a little cut of cake. And I brought you a little laying pullet, boiled in all she is, and was crushed at the fall of night by the curate's car.
I'm very thankful to you all today.
And what in glory have you healed this out of day?
The
man that killed his father. Sure, I know well it's the man. And I'm after putting him down in the sports below for racing, leaping, pitching, and the Lord knows what.
That's right, Widow Quinn. I'll bet me dowry that he'll lick the world.
Well, if you will, you've a right to have him fresh and nourished in place of nursing the feast. Are you fasting or fed, young fella?
Fasting, if you please.
Well, you are the lad. Stir up now and give him his breakfast. Come here to me, and let you tell us your story before Peggy will come, in place of grinning your ears off like the moon of May.
It's a long story. You'd be destroyed listening.
Ah, no. Don't be letting on to be shy. A fine, gamey, treacherous lad, the like of you. Was it in your house beyond you cracked his skull?
It was not. We were digging spuds in his cold, sloping, stony, divil's patch of a field.
Oh, and you went asking money of him? Or make him talk of getting a wife or driving from his town?
I did not then. But there I was, digging and digging. And you scudding idiot, says he, let you walk down now and tell the priest you'll wed the widow Casey in a score of days.
And what kind was she?
A walking terror from beyond the hills. She's 65 years and 200 weights and 5 pounds in the weighing scales, with a limping leg on her and a blinded eye.
And what did he want driving you to wed with her?
He was letting on I was wanting to protect her from the harshness of the world. And he were out of thought the whole while but how he'd have her hut to live in and her gold to drink.
Well, there's maybe worse than a dry heart than the widow woman and your glass at night. So you hit him then?
I did not. I won't wed her, says I. And she a haggard this day with a tongue on her has the crows and seabirds scattered the way they wouldn't cast a shadow on her garden with the dread of her curse.
Sure, that would be right company.
I don't mind her. Did you kill him then?
She's too good for the like of you, Sissy. And go on now, or I'll flatten you out like a crawling beast has passed under a dray. You will not if I can help it, says I.
Ah, you were right, sure.
With that the sun come out between the cloud and the hill, and it shining green in my face. God have mercy on your soul, says he, lifting the side. Or on your own, says I, raising the lie.
That's a grand story.
You tell us it's lovely.
He gave a drive with the side, and I gave a leap to the east. Then I turned around my back to the north, and I hit a blow on the ridge of his skull, laid him stretched out, and he split to the knob of his gullet.
I'm thinking the Lord God sent him this road to make a second husband to the Widow Quinn, and she with a great yearning to be wedded. Oh, I'll
dread
her here.
Ah, a young hero, surely, and let you drink a sup in with your arms linked, like the outlandish lovers in the sailor song. There now, drink a health to the wonders of the western world. That's a right toast, Sir Tansy. And no, Christy.
Peggy.
What is it you're wanting? And an ounce of tobacco.
Peggy Tuppence.
I've forgotten me purse.
Then you'd best be getting it and not fooling us here.
And what is it you're wanting with a Quinn?
A penneth of starch.
And you, without a shift or a shirt in your whole family since the drying of the flood, have no starch for the like of you, and let you walk on now to Killamuck.
Well, you're mighty huffy this day, Peggy Mike. And you, young fella, let you not forget the sports and racing when the moon is bright.
Christy, bring out that rubbish and put them cups away. Shove in that bench by the wall and hang that glass on the nail. Not disturbed us at all?
I was making myself decent only. And this is a fine country for young, lovely girls.
Wish you're talking to girls.
Wouldn't any wish to be decent in a place
that... I'm saying.
It was with a lie the like of that I killed my father.
You've told me that story 6 times since the dawn of day.
It's a queer thing you wouldn't care to be hearing it.
Them girls have to walk in 4 miles to be listening to me now.
4 miles? That's not 3 perches. I was down this morning looking on the papers the post boy just had in his bag. For there was great news this day, Christopher Mann.
Did you do some murder?
Murder, indeed.
A murder, da?
There was not. But a story filled half a page of the hanging of a man. Oh, that should be a fearful end, young fella. And it's worst of all for a man who destroyed his da. For the like of him would get small mercy.
Oh, God help me. Now you're thinking I'm safe. You were saying that the fallen night I was shut of jeopardy and I here with ourselves.
You'll be shut of jeopardy no place if you go on talking with a pack of wild girls the like of them to be walking abroad with the peelers. Talking whispers at the fall of night.
And you're thinking they'll tell?
Who knows? God help you.
Oh, what joy would they have to bring hanging to the likes of me?
It's queer joys they have. And who knows the thing they do? If it'd make the green stones cry itself to think of you swaying and swiggling at the butt of a rope. And you with a fine, stout neck, God bless you.
Oh.
The way you'd be half an hour in great anguish getting your death.
If there's that terror of them, it's best maybe I went on wandering.
It would maybe. For I've heard the circuit judges this place is a heartless crew.
It's more than judges this place is a heartless crew. And isn't it a poor thing to be starting again? And I, a lonesome fellow, will be looking out on women and girls the way the needy fallen spirits do be looking on the Lord.
What call have you to be that lonesome? When there's poor girls walking Mayo in their thousands now.
It's well you know what call I have. It's well you know it's a lonesome thing to be passing small towns with the light shining sideways when the night is down. Or going in strange places with a dog noising before you and a dog noising behind. Or drawn to cities where you'd hear a voice kissing and talking deep love in every shadow of the ditch. And you passing on with an empty, hungry stomach fading from your heart.
I'm thinking you're an odd man, Christy Mann. The oddest walking fella I ever set my eyes on to this hour today.
What would any be but odd men and a living lonesome in the world?
I'm not odd. And I've my whole life with my father only.
How would a lovely, handsome woman the like of you be lonesome when all men should be thronging around to hear the sweetness of your voice? And the little infant children should be pestering your steps, I'm thinking, and you walking the roads.
I'm hard set to know what way a coaxing fella the like of yourself should be lonesome either.
Coaxing?
Would you have me think a man never talked with a girl? But have the words you've spoken today? Oh, it's only letting on you are to be lonesome. The way you'd get round me now.
I wish I was letting on, but I was lonesome all times. And born lonesome, I'm thinking, as the moon of dawn.
Well, it's a story I'm not understanding at all. Why, you'd be worse than another Christy man. And you, a fine lad, with a great savagery to destroy your da.
It's little I'm understanding myself, saving only that my heart's scalded this day. And I was going off, stretching out the earth between us, the way I'll not be walking near you another dawn of the year, till the two of us do arise to hope and judgment with the saints of God. And now I'd best be going with my wattle in me hand, for hanging is a poor thing. And it's little welcome only has left me in this house today.
Christy, come here to me. Lay down that switch and throw some sods on the fire. You're a potboy in this place, and I'll not have you mitch off from us now.
You were saying I'd be hanged if I stay.
Oh, I'm going down and reading the fearful crimes of Ireland for 2 weeks or three, and there wasn't a word of your murder. You've likely not found the body. You're safe so with ourselves.
It's making game of me, you were. And I can stay so, working at your side, and I'm not lonesome from this mortal day.
What's to hinder you from staying? Except the widow woman or the young girls would inveigle you off.
And I'll have your words from this day filling my ears. And that look has come upon you meeting my two eyes. And I watching you loafing around in the warm sun, or rinsing your ankles when the night has come.
I'm thinking you'll be a loyal young lad to have working around.
Peggy, I was passing below and I seen your mountainy sheep eating cabbages in Jimmy's field. Right up or they'll be bursting surely.
Oh, God, mend them.
I'd best go to her aid, maybe. I'm handy with you.
Wait a bit. She can do that much. And here Shaunin has long speeches for to tell you now.
Do you see that, mister?
Oh, the half of a ticket to the Western States.
I'll give it to you and me new hat and the blessing of Father Riley itself, maybe. If you'll quit from this and leave us in the peace we had till last night at the fall of dark.
And for what is it you're wanting to get shut of me?
I'm a poor scholar with middling faculties to coin a lie. So I'll tell you the truth, Christy Mann. I'm wedding with Peggy beyond, and I don't think well of having a clever, fearless man the like of you dwelling in her house.
And you'd be using bribery for to banish me?
I'll let you not take it badly now.
That's true for him. And you'd best quit off and not have that poor girl setting her mind on you.
She wouldn't suit you. And she with the divil's own temper, the way you'd be strangling one another in the scar of days.
You know, fit these clothes on you anyhow, young fella. And he'd maybe loan them to you for the sport. Fit them on, and you can give your answer when you have them tried.
I will, then. I'd like herself to see me in them tweeds and hat.
He'd like herself to see them. Ah, he'll not leave us, Whittaquin. He's a scar of divils in him, the way it's well nigh certain he will wed Peggy.
Well, it's true. All girls are fond of courage and do hate the likes of you.
Ah, Whittaquin, what'll I be doing now? I'd in farm again him, but he'd burst from Kilmainham and he'd be sure and certain to destroy me. Ah, Whittaquin, will you find me some contrivance when I promise you are you?
Are you? Oh, sure, that's a small thing. But, what would you give me if I did wed him and did save you so?
You?
I. Would you give me the red cow you have and the mountainy ram and the right of way across your rye path?
Oh, I would, surely. And I'd give you the wedding ring I have and the loan.
That'll do so. And let you whist. Well, he's coming again now. Well, well, well. Now, if you'd see yourself, I'm thinking you'd be too proud to speak to us at all. And it'd be a pity, surely, to have your like sailing from Mayo to the Western world.
I'm not going. If this is a poor place itself, I'll make myself contented to be lodging here.
Well, I'm going measuring the race course while the tide is low. So I leave you the garments and be blessings for the sport today. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, you're mighty spruce, young fella. Sit down now, while you're quiet, till you talk with me.
I'm going abroad on the hillside for to seek Peggy.
Ah, you'll have time and plenty for to seek Peggy. And you heard me saying that the following night the two of us should be great company.
From this out I'll have no want of company. When all sorts is bringing me their food and clothing, the way they set their eyes upon a gallon off and cleft his father with one blow to the preacher's belt. Saints of glory, holy angels, and the thought of life.
What ails you?
It's the walking spirit of my murdered da.
In that tramp of there?
While I hide my poor body from that ghost of hell.
God save you, me poor man.
Did you see a young lad passing this way in the early morning of a fall of night?
You're a queer kind to walk in not saluting at all.
Did you see the young lad?
What kind was he?
An ugly young stealer with a murderous garb on him and a little switch in his hand. I met a tramper, seen him coming this way at the fall of night.
Oh, sure, there's harvest hundreds do we pass in these days for the Sligo boat. For what is it you wanted of me, poor man?
I want to destroy him for breaking the head on me with the throat of a lie. Look at me scant here. It was he that did that. And am I a great wonder to think I've traced him 10 days without renting me crown?
Oh, that was a great blow. And who hit you? A robber, maybe?
It was me own son that hit me.
Oh. It was a bad blow, surely. And you should have vexed him fearful to make him strike that gash in his dad.
Is it me?
Aye. And isn't it a great shame when the old and hardened do torment the young?
Torment him, is it? And I after holding out with the patience of a martyred saint till there's nothing but destruction on? And I'm driven out me old age with none to aid me.
What kind was he?
A small, low fella.
And dark?
Dark and dirty.
Yes, I'm thinking I've seen him.
An ugly young blackguard.
A hideous, fearful villain, and the spit of you.
Which way has he fled?
Gone over the hills to catch a coasting steamer to the north or south.
Now, could I pull up him now?
Strike down with a head beyond, and then follow on the roadway to the north and the east.
I'll be after him, too.
Come out. Well, so you're the walking playboy of the Western world. And that's the poor man that you had divided to his breeches belt.
Oh, what'll Peggy say when she hears that story? What'll she be saying to me now?
She'll knock the head off of you, I'm thinking, and drive you from the door. God help her to be taking you for a wonder. And you, a little schemer, making up the story that you destroyed your dad. But I'm your like. And as for that, I'm taking a fancy to you. And I, with me little hussy in the bow, will be myself to tend you, and none to ask. Were you a murderer or what at all?
And what would I be doing if I left Peggy in?
I have nice jobs you could be doing. And if my hut is far from all sides, it's there you'll meet the wisest old men, I tell you, at the corner of my wheel. And it's there yourself and me will have great times whispering and hugging.
Is it Peggy, Mike?
That's the young girl's thing, I'm thinking. Coming to bring you through the sports to below. And what is it you'll have me to tell them now?
Oh, aid me for to win Peggy. It's herself only that I'm seeking now. Aid me for to win her, and I'll be asking God to stretch a hand to you in the hour of death.
If I aid you, will you swear to give me the right of way I want, and a mountainy ram, the time that you'll be master here?
I will, by the elements and stars of night.
Then we'll not say a word of the old fellow. The way Peggy won't know your story till the end of time.
And if he chances to return again?
We'll swear he's a maniac and not your dad.
Come on, come on, Peggy.
I will then if Peggy's beyond.
She's in the 14th making game of job cure.
And I'll be going to her now.
Well, if the worst comes in the end of all, it'll be great game to see there's none to fit him but a widow woman, the like of me, has buried her children and destroyed her man.
Of the Playboy of the Western World takes place later the same day. Christy has gone to the game. The scene opens as the Widow Quinn greets the entrance of Old Mahon.
Oh, you here again, is it? Well, you didn't go far at all.
I'm destroyed traveling since Tuesday was a week.
Well, sit down then by the fire and take your ease for a space. You have a right to be destroyed indeed with your walking and fighting and facing the sun. Here now. Here's a drink for you. And may it be to your happiness and length of life.
God increase you, ma'am.
Do you know what, Jimmy? That man's raising from his wound today. For I met him a while since, telling a rambling tale of a tinker had him destroyed. And then he heard of Christy's deed, and he up and says it was his son, and it cracked his skull. Oh, isn't madness a fright? For he'll go killing someone yet, and he's thinking it's the man has struck him so.
It's a fright, surely. I knew a party was kicked in the head by a red mare, and he went killing horses for a great while, till he ate the insides of a clock, and died after.
Did he see Christy?
He didn't. I let you not be putting him in mind of him, or you'll be likely summoned in if there's murdered him. He's listening. Wait now, till he hear me taking him easy, and unraveling all. And what are you feeling, mister?
I'm poorly only. For it's a hard story the way I'm left today.
He's not raving. Will you ask him what kind was his son?
Was your son that hit you a lad of 1 year and a score, maybe? A great hand at racing and leaping and licking the world?
Didn't you hear me say he was a fool of men?
What's that? What in the name of God are the ones who are below?
They're cheering a young lad, the champion playboy of the Western World.
Split my head to hear them, and I with pulses in my brain pan for a week gone by. Is it racing they are?
It is, then. They're mounting them up for the mule race will be run upon the sand. That's the playboy on the winkled mule.
That lad, is it? If you said it was a fool he was, I'd laid a mighty oath. He was the likeness of my wandering son.
He's the champion of the world, I tell you. And there isn't a halfpence isn't fallen lucky in his hands today.
Look at that. They're pressing him now.
He'll win a chance.
Take your time, Jimmy Farrell. He's too soon to say.
Watch him take in the gate. Ah, sure, there's riding for
him. Oh, how to the young... He's caught in the third.
Ah, he licked him yet.
He'd lick him if he was running races with the sport itself.
Look at the mule he has, kicking the stars.
There was a leap for you. Oh, he's fallen. Look, he's mounted again.
Good.
This is faster than all.
Look at him, stealthy horse.
And the mountain girl pushing him on.
The last hurry. Ah, the post clear for the now.
Look at the narrow place. He'd be into the bog. Good rider. He's through again.
He's neck and neck.
Good boy to him. Flames, but he's in.
What's that? They're raising him up. They're coming this way.
Why are they coming this way?
It's Christie. I know his way of spitting on here stride the moon. Let me out to him.
Stay quiet, will you? That's not your son.
Let me out to him.
Stop him, Jimmy. Stop him. Or you'll get a month for the abetting of manslaughter and be fined as well.
I'll hold him. Let me out, I say. Let me out, the lot of you, till I have vengeance on his head me day.
That's not your son, I tell you. That's the man who's going to make a marriage with the daughter of this house.
That man marrying a decent and a moneyed girl? Is it mad you're? Is it in the crazy house of females that are landed now?
And mad yourself is with the blow on your head. That lad is the wonder of the Western world.
I've seen it's my son.
You've seen that you're mad. You hear them cheering him in the zigzag of the road. Now, aren't you after saying that your son's a fool? And how would they be cheering a true idiot born?
It's maybe out of reason that man's himself. There's none surely would go cheering him.
There you are, good jumper.
Grand leopard, down and go.
Ah, here's the racer. There about, will you?
Bring him on. Destroy him and he drenched him with sweat. Good all I'm saying, and here's your tug of war until he's dried his heart.
Come along with him.
A bagpipe.
Oh, fiddle with cat where you ported the years gone.
Thank you kindly, the lot of you. Would you say it was little only I did this day if you'd seen me a while since striking my one single blow?
Last event of the day.
Come on, the lot of you.
Go on, and leave him for to rest and dry. Go on, I tell you, for he'll do no more.
I'll have great times if I win the crowning prize I'm seeking now. And that's your promise that you'll wed me in a fortnight.
Well, you're right, Darren, to go ask me that. When all knows you'll be starting to some girl in your own townland in 4 months or five.
Starting from you, is it? I will not then. And when the airs is warming in 4 months or five, it's then yourself and me should be pacing niffin in the dews of night. The time's sweet smells to be rising, and you'd see a little shiny new moon, maybe, sinking on the hills.
And what is it I have, Christy Mahon, to make me fitting entertainment for the like of you, that has such poet talking and such bravery of heart?
Isn't there the light of seven heavens in your heart alone? The way you'll be an angel's lamp to me from this out, and I abroad in the darkness, spearing summons in the Owen or the Caramore.
If I was your wife, I'd be along with you those nights, Christy Mahon. The way you'd see I was a great hand at coaxing bailiffs or coining funny nicknames for the stars at night.
And to think I'm long years hearing women talking that talk to all bloody fools. And this the first time I've heard the like of your voice talking sweetly for my own delight.
And to think it's me who's talking sweetly, Christy Mahon. And I the fright of seven townlands for me biting tongue. Oh, there's my father coming from the way. And when he's had his sleep, we'll tell him, for he's peaceful then.
The blessings of God and the holy angels on your head, young fella. I can tell you after winning all in the sports below. And wasn't it a shame I didn't bury you along with me to Kate Cassidy's wake? A fine stout lad the like of you. You'd never see the match of it for flows of drink. When we sunk her bones at noonday in her narrow grave, there were five men, aye, and six men, stretched out rich and speechless on the holy stones.
Is that the truth?
Aye. Look beyond at that shy and decent Christian I've chosen for me daughter's hand. And I, after getting the guild dispensation this day, for to wed them now.
And you'll be wedding them this day, is it?
Aye, in the nick of time, too.
Yeah, he's missed his nick of time, for it's that lad, Christy Mahon, that I'm wedding now.
You'll be making him a son to me, and he wet and crusted with his father's blood.
Aye.
Aren't you a heathen daughter? Have you not a word to aid me, Shawneen? You're not jealous at all.
I'd be afeard to be jealous of a man to slay his daughter.
Well, it'd be a poor thing to go mad
marry in your life.
It's a queer story. You'd go picking a dirty tramp up from the highways of the world.
Oh, I'm thinking you're too fine for the like of me, Sean Keogh Killakeen. And let you go off till you find a radiant lady. That'll be your match, Seanine. So God save you now.
Won't you be hearing me telling you
take
now?
Take yourself from this young fellow, or I'll maybe add a murder to my deeds today.
Murder, is it? Is it mad, you are? Would you go making murder in this place?
I'll not fight him, Michael James. I'd be for live a bachelor. Strike him yourself, Michael James.
Is it me fight him? When his father slaying his bread to now. Go on, you fool, and fight him now.
Will I strike him with me hand?
Take the lies on your western side.
I'd be afeard of the gallows if I struck him with that.
Then I'll make you face the gallows or quit off on this. Well, fine weather be after him. I'm thinking you wouldn't wish to have that quaking blackguard in your house at all. Let you give us your blessing and hear a swear of faith in me, for I'm mounted on the spring tide of the stars of luck, the way I'll be good for any to have in the house.
Bless us now, Michael James, for I swear I'll wed him and I'll not renege.
It's the will of God, I'm thinking. A daring fella is the jewel of the world, and a man that split his father's mittle with a single clout should have the bravery of 10. So may St. Patrick bless you and increase you from this mortal day.
Amen.
Let me at him. Stop.
Who are you at all?
His father, God forgive me.
Is it rose from the dead?
Do you think I look so easy quenched with the top of a lorry?
Oh, it's lies you told us, Christy Mann. Listen on, you had him flitted. And you, nothing at all.
He's not my father. He's a raving maniac to spare the world. Himself knows it's true.
You're fooling Peggy.
Where the Queen seen him this day? You likely know.
It's himself who's a liar. Lying stretched out with an open head on him, letting on he was dead.
Went the off race in the hills before I got me breath. With a start I had seen you turn on me at all.
And just think of the coaxing glory we'd given him. And he, after doing nothing but hitting a soft blow and chasing northward in a sweat of fear. Quit off from this.
You've seen my doings this day. And let you save me from this old man. Why should you be in such a scorch of haste to spur me to destruction now?
Is there your treachery is spurring me? Well, I'm hard set to think you're the one I'm after lacing in my heartstring. Half an hour gone by.
Aye.
Take him on from this. I think bad the world should see me raging for a monster liar and a fool of men.
Rise up now to retribution and come on here with me.
There's a playboy.
There's a lad that he ruled of his playboy.
What is it drives you to torment me here when I'd ask the thunders of the might of God to blast me if I ever did hurt to any saving only that one single blow?
If you didn't, you're a poor good for nothing. And isn't it by the like of you the sins of the whole world are committed?
Oh, in the name of Almighty God.
Leave troubling the Almighty God. Would you have him send down droughts and fevers and the old hen and the cholera morbus? Come here to me, I say.
Oh, will you come between us and protect me now, Widow Quinn?
I've cried a lot. My share is done.
Then I must go back to my torment, is it?
Peggy to aid you. Her life is often changed.
I will not then, for there's torment in the splendor of her life. And she a girl any moon of midnight would take pride to meet facing southwards on the heath of Keen.
Come here to me.
See me go, I'm saying.
I will, maybe, when your legs is limping and your back is bruised.
Keep it up, the two of you. Come
on. Back, the old one.
Down the bye-bye.
Get up, you get up. Keep off. If I do show a blow unto the lad here, would set the guardian angels winking in the clouds above.
He's going mad.
Shut your gullet and come here to me now.
I ain't going, but I have struck you first. Give me that, Lord.
That's the time I did it.
Christy, they're turning again. Come on, or you'll be hanged indeed.
I'll not leave Peggy, Mike.
Come along, I tell you, and I'll find you finer sweethearts at each waning moon.
It's Peggy I'm seeking only.
Oh, they're going to hang him.
Is the old lad killed, surely?
I'm after feeling the last gasps quitting his heart.
Look at the way he is. Take this rope, twist a hangman's knot on it, and slip it over his head while he's not minding at all.
Let you take it, Shawnee, and you're the soberest of all that's here.
Is it me to go near him, and he the wickedest and worst with me? Let you take the rope, Peggy, Mike.
Oh. Come on, sir.
There. We've got you.
What ails you? Come on to the peelers till they stretch you now.
Me?
Take him on from this,
or the love of us will be put lightly on trial for his deed today.
And it yourself will send me off to have a horny-fingered hangman hitching his bloody slip knots to the bottom of my ear.
Come on now.
Cut the rope, Peggy, and I'll quit the lot of you.
Take him on, out from this.
Pull a twist on his neck and squeeze him. So.
Oh, me leg is bit on me. He's the like of a mad dog. I'm thinking the way that I will surely die.
You will, then. The way you can shake out hell's flags to welcome for my coming in 2 weeks or three.
Will you look what's coming?
Are you coming to be killed a third time, or what ails you now?
Well, what is it? They have you tied, Christy.
They're taking me to the peelers to have me hang for slaying you.
It's the will of God.
Is it so? Here, Christy, I'll get the rope off you. And now, Michael James Flaherty, me son and myself will be going our own way. And we'll have great times from this out, telling stories of the villainy of Mayo and the fools that is here. Come on now, Christy.
Go with you, Wicket. I will then, like a gallant captain with his heathen slave. Go on now, and I'll see you from this day, stewing my oatmeal and washing my spuds. For I'm master of all fights from now. Go on, I'm saying.
Is it me?
Get a word out of you. Go on from this.
Glory be to God. I'm crazy again.
10,000 blessings upon all that's here. For you've turned me a likely gaffer in the end of all. The way I'll go romancing through a romping lifetime. From this hour to the dawning of the judgment day.
May the will of God, we'll have peace now for our drinks. Will you draw the porter, Peggy?
It's a miracle. Father Riley can wear us in the end of all, and we'll have none to trouble us when his vicious bite is healed.
Quit my sight! Oh, my grief! I've lost him, surely. I've lost the only playboy of the Western world.
This brings to a close our production of The Playboy of the Western World by John Millington Synge, adapted for radio by James Church. The cast included Walter Kinsella as Christopher Mahon, Whitford Kane as Old Mahon, Alan McAteer as Michael James Flaherty, Mary Michael as Piggy Mike, John Kane in the part of Sean Keogh, Ralph Cullinan as Philly Cullen, Clement O'Loughlin as Jimmy Farrell, Florence Malone as the Widow Quinn, Eileen Curran as Sarah Tansey, Dorothy Nolan as Susan Brady, Sarah Floyd as Honor Blake, and Elizabeth Morgan as Nellie. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company, a drama guide giving complete background material for the Great Plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of the series. Next week at this same hour, the Pirates of Penzance will be presented. Presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.